First, while much of the focus from the fall election has been on the presidential, House, and Senate races, there were also some big ballot measures and referendums in other states. Four more states, South Dakota, Arizona, Montana, and New Jersey, voted to legalize marijuana. Mississippi passed a medical marijuana measure. Oregon will become the first state to decriminalize small amounts of other drugs. In Florida, voters approved a measure to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour over time. And Colorado joins the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. Just a sampling there. There were other referenda involving gig economies, abortion, redistricting, and more. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Which ballot initiative results were you following? Were you most encouraged or discouraged by? Would you like to see some of these implemented in Wisconsin? Minimum wage increase, drug decriminalization, changing the way district boundaries are drawn. Do you think we should have this referendum process in Wisconsin, which we don't? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Louis Jacobson is a senior correspondent with PolitiFact and senior author of the Almanac of American Politics 2020. He wrote about these ballot initiatives for U.S. News and World Report. Lou, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yes, thank you.
Before we dig into some of these results, Lou, this is kind of alien territory for us here in Wisconsin. We don't have a binding statewide referendum process, asterisk, except for constitutional amendments that are put out there to the state by the legislature by passing it twice. So that's pretty rare. How common is this outside of Wisconsin?
You know, I don't have off the top of my head the number of states, but it is definitely a limited number of states, probably less than half. And a lot of them are in the West for whatever reason they sort of developed there. California is a huge state for them. Arizona, Washington, Oregon, for some reason, they sort of developed there and got deep into the political sort of environment there. So and this year there were more than 100 of them. And by the way, that figure does include both the citizen initiatives, which are placed on the ballot by basically ordinary people or groups, as well as the ones you're talking about, which are the state legislature driven things that are sent to the voters. So there were definitely north of about 100 this year, of which I wrote about 70 before the election as being pretty significant ones. So it actually was a pretty big deal in a lot of places, at least where they had them this year. You did a good job summarizing some of the key ones at the top of the show. So do you want me to talk about some of those?
Well, yeah, but one headline from your piece on this was for many, you know, Democrats, apart from maybe winning the presidency, we still don't know that yet. But, you know, Democrats didn't do great in congressional and Senate races, or they kind of underperformed. But some progressive, more or less ballot measures did pretty well.
That is definitely true. Joe Biden's performance, particularly if he wins some of these uncalled states, is going to probably surpass expectations in the number of states that he won. He's going to probably, soon if he hasn't already, pass Hillary Clinton in terms of the margin of victory in terms of raw votes nationally. So the presidential picture was pretty good for Democrats. Obviously, winning, of course, by itself is a good thing for Democrats. Beyond that, ballot initiatives are some of the only positive signs for the in 2020 results. Congress, of course, they've got a longer shot to the Senate than they thought they had before the election, and they're probably going to end up losing a handful of seats in the House when the bulk of analysis had suggested they were going to gain at least some seats. It's sort of continuing a trend of the past couple election cycles where Democrats have done pretty well in ballot measures. It used to be when I started covering ballot measures in the mid 1990s, a lot of conservative ones were on the ballot. Things such as anti-same-sex marriage ballot measures were big. Term limits were big, and those were mostly supported by conservatives. And there are a lot of anti-tax measures now. Democrats or their liberal allies have gotten pretty savvy about placing various ballot measures that are favorable towards their side, on the ballot in the states where they can. And it hasn't gone 100% well for them, but I think that on balance in most of the important ones for this cycle, that Democrats have tended to do better, or liberals have tended to do better than the conservatives have.
Talking to Lou Jacobson from PolitiFact about ballot measures in states around the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Lou, a lot of drug measures, as I mentioned, legalization or decriminalization in some states you might expect, and then in some not exactly liberal strongholds like South Dakota. Talk about the trends we're seeing there.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I think a lot of people used to frame this, and I did too, as sort of a liberal issue, or at the very least a libertarian issue. But I would not have expected a couple of years ago that it would have enough support to pass in places like South Dakota, where it got 53%, in Montana, got 57%, unless the numbers are slightly, and then Arizona, 60%. New Jersey, you could see supporting it. It's a blue state, but certainly Montana, South Dakota are not the kind of places where you would expect a sort of progressive leaning measure to do so well, and they have. In Mississippi, it voted on the medical marijuana policy, and it passed that with 67%. Now, that's not as far-reaching as the recreational marijuana ones, but it's still in Mississippi. I mean, that is a pretty significant achievement for the folks who support decriminalization of drugs. And Oregon had two major votes. It voted to basically decriminalize a small possession levels of a variety of fairly serious drugs, including heroin, I believe. That passed with 59%, and the idea is that the savings of law enforcement would be used to fund addiction treatment. Even more strikingly, Oregon voters also, with 56% of the vote last I checked, voted to basically decriminalize psilocybin, if that's how you pronounce it, which is magic mushrooms. And also Washington, D.C., in a slightly different mechanical way, did something similar in terms of mushrooms. So that's sort of the next frontier. If those sorts of experiments play out well and are popular, you could see that spreading further as time goes by, as you could in some other red states, perhaps, which may currently have a medical marijuana provision, but not one in terms of recreational marijuana.
We're taking a look at some of the referendums that were on ballots in other states in the fall election. Lou Jacobson is our guest, senior correspondent at PolitiFact, senior author of the Almanac of American Politics 2020. We'll look at some non-drug related ones coming up. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of these ideas? Do you wish Wisconsin had a process like this where citizens, say, can bring up a ballot initiative and then vote on it? Would you want to see that here or no? And with that initiative or not, do you want to see Wisconsin follow these other states when it comes to decriminalization of drugs, increasing the minimum wage, we'll talk about in just a bit, changes in election systems, abortion, and more? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about some of the many ballot initiatives that were voted on in other states around the country this election, on things like drug decriminalization, affirmative action, minimum wage, just to name a few. Lou Jacobson stays with us from PolitiFact. He's been writing about this. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you wish we had this process of a binding referendum here in the state? What do you think Wisconsin should follow suit one way or another on, say, decriminalizing drugs or changing our redistricting methods? 800-642-1234. Let's go to Florida now, Lou, and look at this minimum wage increase going up to $15 an hour over the course of time. What happened there?
Yeah, in Florida, you need 60% of the vote to actually pass a ballot measure. And in this case, they got 61 last I checked, which is quite striking, considering that Trump won the state. Clearly, there were a whole lot of voters who voted for Trump and who voted for this. In general, minimum wage measures have been pretty popular. A couple states have passed them. The idea, just as a general sort of policy principle, is generally pretty popular around the country. So it's, I guess, not too surprising that it passed, but coming in such a Republican year for the state of Florida is definitely notable.
Is that kind of a head scratcher for Florida Democrats? Like, hey, you like this policy that we Democrats like and Republicans don't? How do they account for
that?
I
think there is something to that. The past, as I said, the past couple of cycles have shown, in general, a pretty good record for Democratic-leaning progressive ballot measures across the country. And it's not actually that rare to find, even in red states, supporting things like expansion of Medicaid, under the Affordable Care Act, passing. So it's, as if the voters in the state, or at least enough of the voters in the state, are kind of operationally liberal, but they may, prefer a Republican because maybe the state GOP in their state is pretty strong and there aren't strong candidates. So it's certainly something that Democrats will try to build on. But there is such a strong partisan divide and polarization in this country at this point that it's really hard. As you see the Senate races, for instance, there were some strong Democratic candidates, very, very red states, and they just couldn't win for the most part. I think a lot of that is just partisan polarization. Maybe the idea that it's a ballot measure, and so it's not strictly a partisan issue, it's more of a policy issue. Maybe that gives people a little bit more room to run away from their party identification.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Lori is with us in Iowa County. Lori, hi.
Hi. My question is, I live in Iowa County, and there was actually a referendum on my ballot in reference to the district boundary question. You haven't mentioned that yet, and also, I want to add, I have three daughters, all live in different counties in Wisconsin, one Milwaukee, one Dane, and one up in Wausau. I'm not sure if that's Marathon County. Sure what county that is. Yeah. And it wasn't consistent across.
Right. So I can answer that one, Lori. Different counties can have advisory referenda on their ballots. So you might well see one in Iowa County, but not, say, Milwaukee or Marathon County. Those are not binding, but people do them to kind of promote a cause, in this case, like redistricting. Now, that said, Lou, there were some states that did tackle how they drew their boundary lines, their voting lines in their states. What did we see around the country?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, aside from the marijuana and the drug-based ballot measures, one of the biggest issues and potentially important ones were on basically how you run elections and sort of everything surrounding that. And two states took up a ballot measure about redistricting. Virginia appears to have passed theirs. It basically puts into place a bipartisan system, which was designed to diminish the ability of a single party to draw lines that favors themselves. This follows the passage of a number of ballot initiatives across the country. Michigan, for sure, a couple others in the recent past have done so. In the state of Missouri, voters passed, I don't think it was quite as strong and elaborate as the Virginia one was, but it did pass 2 years ago. And the state legislature, who had been solely in charge of redistricting, fought back, passed a law to put it to the voters to basically weaken what the voters had passed 2 years earlier, and that passed. So basically the voters spoke 2 years ago and then spoke again to kind of partially rescind what they'd already passed.
Let's bring on another caller. Nancy is with us in Waukesha County. Nancy, hi. Are you there, Nancy? Okay, I don't know. Nancy must have put her phone down. She wanted to ask about, I think, a general question about why the arguments for and against these binding referenda in states putting things directly to citizens instead of relying on legislatures to do them. Lou, general thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Certainly it is a state's prerogative to like not actually have ballot measures available. And in fact, in North Dakota, which does have the process, the state legislature tried to put a ballot measure about ballot measures on the ballot to basically restrict how strong the process is, and the voters rejected it. You know, I think probably one of the most important things for in terms of ballot measures is that they do allow a sort of escape valve where if a state legislature is like very against, let's say, redistricting reform or campaign finance reform, they are never going to vote to change the policies or the rules of the game, basically, which got them into office. A ballot measure, if the citizens can get it on just by signatures and not have to worry about the state legislature, then they can do that. And so it is a way to have kind of reformist overhauls of the rules of the game in ways that can't be blocked by the current existing politicians.
We'll leave it there. Lou, thanks a lot for joining us today and sharing some of these.
Great. Thanks so much.
Louis Jacobson is a senior correspondent at PolitiFact. He's senior author of The Almanac of American Politics 2020. We talked to him today about how some of the ballot initiatives in states around the country fared during this election season.